talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. Some very good news. New sanctions have been imposed on Russia. You can ask, why weren't they imposed right from the beginning? Get into that very briefly, quickly. What are the new sanctions? First of all, they cut off any Kremlin access through their controlled media from the United States or anywhere in Western Europe. In other words, they have controlled media, and not just Russian TV, but a lot of other things. And it also stops them, Russia, from using U.S. consultants and accounting services and management consultants. Now, why is that important? And the second thing was, it sanctions executives of Gazprom Bank, which is the bank that most of Europe uses to buy Russian gas. And finally, it puts on visa restrictions to 2,600 people in the Russian and Belarus governments. All right, let's boil that down. The reason that Gazprom Bank executives were not sanctioned early on is because Europe continued to buy Russian oil and gas to keep their factories going and during the winter and their homes heated. Biden did everything he could to move them on that. They wouldn't move. And rather than give up European unity, what they did is they removed a lot of other banks in Russia from the SWIFT system. That's the international banking system. But they left Gazprom Bank there so that Europeans could put money to Russia so that they got gas and oil. And the problem is they were funding the Ukrainian war, is what they were doing. Plus Putin and his oligarchs steal 80%. Well, now the G7 has agreed to not use Russian oil at all. And they are winding down the use of Russian gas. So now we can sanction Gazprom Bank. When it comes to 2,600 visas on Russian Belarusian officials, I don't know why that wasn't done immediately in February. The heck with it. Yank every visa of every Rusky in this country and send them packing. Why pussyfoot around? But at least that's what we're doing now. The other sanctions are great. Cutting off the Kremlin and Kremlin-controlled media from access to the United States, and also stopping Russia from using U.S. provided management and accounting services. Now, here's why that's important. I would have liked to have seen them cut them off from legal services too. You know, they use American law firms. You know, when we seize some of their properties here, they hire American law firms to sue our own government. But you put that aside for a moment, because then you have the issue of our justice system permits people to come in and be represented. And we don't let them be represented by foreign lawyers. So if they can't be represented by American lawyers, they're not going to be represented. You can say, Putin, get in yourself and argue it pro se. Pro se, the Latin term simply meaning occasionally a criminal defendant will get up and try to run the trial himself, which is always a disaster. But they can't use accounting services and they can't use consulting services. And that's very good because there are lobbyists in particular swarming all over Washington, D.C., take anybody as a client, and they give accounting advice, they give media advice, they give all this. We don't want them. We do not want them and their kind coming in here and trying to perfume the Ukraine war. So this is a very, very, very good development. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Matt, I hope I'm not going over something you already have. Did you talk at all about Mark Esper being on 60 Minutes? And if
tell me what you got in mind, Dick. We talked about a lot of issues. What do you got in mind?
Well, here's what the thing is that I have with him. His new book, what is it called, Sacred Oath or something?
Yeah.
He didn't finish the title in my mind. It should be Sacred Oath and Why I Didn't Uphold It. Yeah. This guy's a clown. What if let's say Lyndon Johnson in 1963 would have just said, you know, this looks like an awful dangerous job, and we're not sure if this wasn't a conspiracy to take out other people in the government. I don't think so. I'll just defer to, who was it, John McCormick, who was about 85. You know, I'm so tired of these books, the after-the-fact thing. Your point was to stand up and say something when it was happening in real time, not to tell us about it, you know, a year and a half later or more.
Right. Yeah. You know, you're onto something. And I'll tell you my impression of these books. And, you know, Ivanka Trump is coming out with one, and Jared Kushner, one in July, one in August. This isn't, they're not well written. It's not great literature. And you're right. The one thing about Esper, what he did was he finally got resigned and or got canned. He couldn't stomach some of the stuff, but he could have stood up a little harder. But the only good thing from a historical point of view is they come out with these little nuggets of stuff Trump did that nobody would have known otherwise. And, you know, and every time one of these things comes out, when John Bolton came out with his book and all these guys, yeah, they were part of it. Esper, he got out of it quicker than some of the others. However, they always come up with these things where Trump did unbelievably stupid, reckless things, and we wouldn't know about some of them without these books. So the way I look on Esper's book, and I'm going to look on Jared Kushner's and Ivanka's when it comes out this summer, and where I did on Bolton, is this is not literature. They're not well written. They're going to not be much marked on in history, except for a few choice little tidbits we wouldn't know otherwise. That's it. End of story. Agree with you, and thank you for calling. Todd or Billy, my friend, thanks for calling. You're next in line. What's on your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Matt, I had a question for you. Will Ukraine, or have they attacked into Russian territory? And if they did, what would the consequence of that be if they were to say, you know, shoot or attack Russian forces that were on the Russian side of the border?
Yeah, and here's the deal. They already have, in this limited sense. Remember, Russia has a long border with Ukraine, and then they took Crimea, which used to be part of Ukraine, and that obviously borders Ukraine too. And they Russia has been attacking Ukraine, going into Ukraine. And a lot of people thought, and you've articulated quite well, why is it wrong then for Ukraine to attack Russia? And here's the thing. Let me give you two examples. There are missile sites and there are staging sites in Russian territory. They're going to attack Ukraine within 5 miles, 10 miles, 30 miles. Ukraine has attacked them. Ukraine has gone in and hit their troops and also hit some of their missile launchers. And Russia always says, oh, you know, they're risking nuclear war. You know, Russia is saber rattling. Russia is weak and has nothing. And so that will continue, number one. Number two, in Perm, Russia, P-E-R-M, a city about 700 miles from Moscow, there was a fire that burned down an aviation university over the weekend, and an ammo dump there blew up. And there have been something like a dozen suspicious fires and explosions around Russia. Those are the work of people who are opposed to the invasion of Ukraine. Now, are they Ukrainians or are they just Russians who are fed up with this? That I don't know. I'm sure the CIA knows it. I suspect it's a little of both. You know, something like 11 million people in Russia have relatives in Ukraine. There are a lot of, I went to a presentation by a woman at a pro-Ukrainian event over the weekend, and she said the Ukrainians were surprised when the Russians came in because it'd be like Illinois coming into Wisconsin and bombing us. You know, they were looked on, they had relatives there. So I think it's very likely that there are a lot of Ukrainian sympathizers in Russia. And it may very well be that Ukrainians' military can easily get into Russia. They all speak Russian. You can't tell them apart by looking at them. And so it may be a little of both. But here's the difference. Suppose Ukraine had sent a team in to assassinate Putin at the May Day, at the May 9th celebration earlier today. Or suppose they bomb St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow, or they bomb St. Isaac's Cathedral in St. Petersburg, which are these two iconic churches. I've been in both of them. They're beautiful churches, and I don't suggest anybody do that. But or suppose they set off an explosion in Red Square and all these goose-stepping Russian Nazis that are going along, a couple of them got wiped out. I think there's a feeling, and there certainly would be a feeling in the CIA and in our State Department, Defense Department, that at some point you can push Putin, you can beat Putin, but if he suddenly had iconic landmarks being bombed right under his nose, at some point, what does he do? We don't know. It could be that it would engender his assassination by people who are fed up with what he's doing, but it also could trigger something else. So I think there's a distinction, and I think as long as Ukraine concentrates on hitting positions in Russia, but within staging areas, launching sites within, you know, 40, 50 miles, that's a very, very good strategy. If it comes to attacking Moscow and St. Petersburg, that's something our government would want to weigh in on. So thanks for calling in. The lines are live. If you're on the line, do not hang up. I got to go to a break. I'll come to you right after the break. Do not hang up. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.